This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up, wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
See ya!
Oh, thank you, Philmo. It sounds beautiful. It's a beautiful morning here. It's chilly, but it's beautiful. It was beautiful yesterday, too. I think the rain's supposed to come back at some point this week. We're going to talk about that, all right? Is it raining in Philadelphia? I don't know. No one's awake right now, probably, or maybe they are. They're still partying as the Eagles absolutely demolish the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. The final score does not do that game justice. It was never really a game. Hell, even after the second quarter, and we've been talking about it all morning. There's a lot of news happening right now in regards to the 49ers. Yesterday morning, super morning, Deebo Samuel says, deuces, I'm out. I don't want to play for the 49ers anymore. He requests a trade, tells that to Adam Schefter from ESPN. So we've been talking about Deebo Samuel. Are the 49ers going to trade him? Are they going to cut him? What's going on with Deebo? More drama to a season that we thought was past us when it came to drama. Well, we're starting this upcoming season potentially with more, and Deebo Samuel is a big part of that. Good morning to all those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky, Joe, it's been a crazy morning. It's been fun. It's the last real day we get to talk about football, and I'm enjoying it for that. But I know this has been tough for you, considering the two teams that played yesterday and considering the Italian stallion, Nick Sirianni, alongside Big Dom DeSandro, both becoming Super Bowl champions.
Let's just address it head on.
Let's do it.
Philly's got the worst fans on the planet.
Not even close?
Who's close?
Boston's pretty
good. I've been to Boston. I've seen them, and they're bad. Okay. They're not Philly.
New York? They get a bad rap.
I think New York's
trying to steal Mookie Betts' mitt from his hand, for God's sakes.
Way more front-running than people want to give credit. Like, they're the worst fan base on the planet. And it's because they're just despicable, awful, angry people.
Laker fans?
Oh, they're just bandwagon jumpers.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So New York fans and LA fans are the same fans, as far as you're concerned.
Well, I mean, considering most Laker fans root for the Yankees, yeah.
The Dodgers won, so they're back out actually on the Dodgers bandwagon. Shohei Ohtani.
Look, are there some great Laker fans? I'm sure there are.
Pitchers and catchers this week, Sammy?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you're so excited. Look at a smile on your face right there.
Actually, if we're being real, my CYO team lost Friday night.
Oh, no.
Saturday was the opening of baseball season, and we practiced Saturday and Sunday.
At the field that I went at, was at West Sunset.
Yeah,
that
West
was
Sunset
fun. Carter was there last year. That was fun. Huh, Carter?
That was beautiful.
Yeah. It's great.
It's beautiful. Carter was also at my game on Friday night.
So was Mike Dunleavy.
Mike Dunleavy, yeah.
Is he scouting you?
Well, no, he's scouting LJ. LJ was on the court working. He was getting some pregame reps in, like an NBA player. Like, he's not going to suit up, but he's going to do some basketball activities. Kind of like Bronny, I might get him drafted on my St. Brendan's Bears team.
Did you go say hi to Mike at any point?
No. It's one of those situations I would expect him to come up to me.
Oh, God.
That's a total tease.
No, they do head nods. You guys are that tight. You just do a little quick little.
Honestly, yeah. When you're out in public like that, unless you like walk right into him, you don't like. Yeah, I don't know. You just let him do his
thing.
Sure.
Oh, by the way, Joe Shasky, I'd be remiss if I did not mention this. In the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to give out a chance to go play hoops at Chase Center with the knockout tournament. It's back. And we're going to be doing that all week long, by the way. It's the final week you can qualify to play hoops on the Chase Center floor. You have three opportunities all day this week, starting now. So you want to be listening, because we're going to give out the keyword here between now and the end of the segment. Be listening. All right. I'm going to give it out. And then next segment, you're going to hear a sounder, and you're going to be the first to call and give us the keyword, and you will win a spot in the tournament and have a chance to shoot hoops on the court at Chase Center. Tournament is going to be Monday, March 3rd. And again, be listening to the 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 4 o'clock hours all week long. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. All right, so where do you want to go here, Joe? We've been talking about Nick Sirianni, comparing him to Kyle Shanahan. We've been talking about Deebo Samuel. We've been comparing the 49ers roster, the Philadelphia Eagles roster. There's lots of things to dissect right now when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers. First and foremost, with any team, comes the quarterback for me. Brock Purdy. After watching the quarterback performances last night, and maybe you're going to give it Mahomes, I don't know if you want to give him a pass, I thought he was pretty bad. Obviously, the offensive line had to be a part of that, but he also just looked unsure of himself.
Look, he is who he is. No, like, he played terrible last night, yeah. But that's he also thought he was going to come back down 24-0.
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's one of the greatest we've ever seen in the history of the sport. Okay? Do you feel better or worse about the quarterback situation for the San Francisco 49ers? Or did that game last night not do anything for you at all, and you still feel the same as you did heading into the game about your guy?
Well, I look at Jalen Hurts different. Like, Jalen Hurts has now done this so many times in terms of his poise and moxie. Do I think he's the greatest, like, over-the-middle, pick-you-apart type of a quarterback? No.
Is he the best quarterback in the NFC right now? Is he the best quarterback?
Stafford.
In the
I still think I'm taking Stafford.
I don't know. He's getting older.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. You think he is?
I think I might be taking Jalen right now. In two Super Bowls, he's outdueled Patrick Mahomes. I know that.
He reminds me more of Russ than he does of, like, your vintage, I'm going to be great for 10, 12 years. Like, we'll see where he is next year. He's the man right now.
You're still on a year-by-year basis with Jalen Hurts. Last night, said, great, you're a Super Bowl champion, but I'm not going to look at you much differently than I have all season.
In a big game, I think I have to give him his props. Like, I probably lean Jalen over Purdy right now. But the other thing with Jalen,
just lean over. That's surprising.
Well, because, like, Purdy has had some remarkable second halves in the playoffs.
Sure.
Dismantled the Seahawks. Dismantled, what's it called? The Detroit Lions in the third quarter. Just was absolutely incredible. Led multiple comeback drives late in games against the Dallas Cowboys the year prior in the fourth quarter, and then obviously against the Green Bay Packers. He's had his moments, so I don't want to sit here and say that Purdy hasn't had his moments. The arm is a big question mark for me. Jalen Hurts doesn't have shoulder arm injuries. Purdy's had a couple. And so I think it, like, hey, like, where's that shoulder at? Like, where's that arm at? He said he was going to take, like, multiple weeks to a month off after the season. I'm sure a lot of quarterbacks do, but, like, given that his shoulder and his elbow, he had multiple injuries late in the year on that, like, that's, you know, like, that's
concerning.
That's alarming, you know, and he wants big money. We'll see how much they end up paying him and how they spread that money out. And, you know, Jalen, part of the beauty of Howie Roseman right now is they've spent money on certain players early in the offseason before the market gets out of control. And so instead of that $5, $10, $20 extra million dollars of guaranteed money, you're able to afford random guys, whether it's a backup guard, which is what they did, you know, and be able to buy certain draft picks and afford those because you're not paying top of the market prices for players. Year after year, it feels like the Niners have had to pay the extra penance on a Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Brandon Ayuk, because they were late to the party in getting the deal done.
888-957-9570. What does Jalen Hurts now rank for you among the top quarterbacks in the NFL? Are you taking him over Purdy right now if you're starting a franchise? Are you taking Nick Sirianni over Kyle Shanahan if you're starting a franchise right now? Dave is in Fresno. He wants to join in the conversation. He agrees with you, Joe Chasky, in regards to the trenches. What's up, Dave? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Real quick on Deebo. I do think it is a little encouraging that if they are entertaining trading him, that maybe that's a little step for Kyle to pivot off, you know, one of his boys and just focus on getting the best players on the field. And as far as the trenches, you know, after the game, there was a lot of talk about, oh, well, see, the Eagles have the blueprint, you know, how to win, and
you got to invest in the trenches. As it relates to the Niners, I mean, they have invested. They just haven't hit. They have to hit on those high picks when they have a little money, when they do get a chance to spend on the player. You know, they spent on Leonard Floyd, who's okay. But, see, the thing with the Eagles, and I think that what the Niners can learn from, is that the Eagles don't overthink these things. They get a Jalen Carter, who's great. He went to Georgia. He was a great player at Georgia. Nolan Smith, great player at Georgia. You know, I think with the Niners, especially with the early pick, I think they try to overthink it, and they kind of shoot themselves in the foot. I think Howie Roseman, he just gets it. He sees Cooper DeJean. Oh, he's a top 20 player. Well, I can get him in the second round. Let's get him. Like, there's no overthinking when it comes to, you know, getting their players. And I think that's what the Niners can definitely learn from as far as the Eagles and their blueprint. So, yeah, invest in the trenches, but you got to hit on the trenches too.
Well, I mean,
thanks, Dave. Trench warfare, baby.
They took Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter, there were no questions about the player.
No.
It was all off-field. And he just fell. I mean, in a normal draft, he's like a top three player.
No, he was literally called like the best prospect of that entire draft. Like, he was the number one, like, but it was the question concerns. And, you know, quarterbacks, there's always going to be quarterbacks that take ahead because of the positional value.
Yes.
But as far as the most talented player in that draft, no question it was Jalen Carter. Guy's a monster, and he showed it last year. Guy tries to intercept spiked balls. Who does that?
That was incredible last year. But he also entered a locker room where they had Fletcher Cox. He entered a locker room where they had Hassan Reddick at the time, right? They had veteran players that they thought their infrastructure was such to where if he is an off-field concern, they have some veterans that they can rely on.
Practicing against Jason Kelce in practice, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, all those guys, right? Going up against those guys, iron sharpens iron. And to your point, leadership, a major factor. And the fact that they were able to, you know, overcome that lack of, or, you know, people stepping up in the organization. Listen, I'm going to give Nick Sirianni credit for that, being the leader, because I do think that's an underrated quality of all head coaches. And you say, oh, leadership should be baked in. Yeah, some people do it different ways, though. And we were talking to Baldy last week. You know, we were giving all the praise to Andy Reid, and rightfully so, and his place and his legacy. But I asked him, like, conversely, like, what are we not talking about when it comes to Nick Sirianni? And it's his ability to have coaches love to coach for him and with him. He drives us insane, drives a lot of people insane and crazy. And, you know, he trash talks, he has the CIA, he talks, you know, a bunch of bleep to the fans, all that, this, that, and the other. God, his players and his coaching staff love playing for the guy. Now, some of them, AJ Brown, I don't know what he's just a different cat, AJ. I don't know. You know, Jalen, they're different guys, but hey, when push came to shove, they were embracing at the end of the day and they were loving each other. Hell, Travis Kelce was bumping in and yelling at Andy Reid last year in the Super Bowl. Things get heated sometimes, all right? But I say all that to say this, as I do my guru. I say all that to say this. Kyle Shanahan has a massive, massive undertaking this season. Him getting on the same page with Robert Saleh, which should be a good thing considering their boys, they go way back. There's familiarity there. And nailing these draft picks, Joe Shasky. Nailing this offseason in free agency. And it looks like it's going to start with Deebo Samuel.
The name we haven't brought up all morning, which I think is kind of wild to me, because, look, they need to improve the trenches. It's inarguable. It's Christian McCaffrey. Okay? Like, I know Saquon is an afterthought because of last night. Saquon's the reason they're in the position they're in.
Sure.
They don't get to the Super Bowl without Saquon, period. There's just like no other way around it. Yeah, that offensive line's great. Gainwell isn't even close to whatever Saquon is. You know, Swift? They had DeAndre Swift last year. Not even close to Saquon.
Gainwell back up,
Christian McCaffrey, to me, is the biggest question mark on the team. If you told me he came back and he was some semblance of what he was 2 years ago, I'd believe you. If you told me he was never close to that same player, I'd believe that too. I have no idea what to make of him. I saw Derrick Henry looked a little like he was slowing down, and then all of a sudden, boom, he gets rejuvenated by going to Baltimore. Can Christian McCaffrey get back to what he was? Because that's the name we haven't talked about all morning, and I think that he is a game changer for this organization.
David in Denver, we'll get to you in a second, but it's time to give out the key word you need to know to win a spot in the knockout tournament. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen, as I do my own drum roll? The key word is dude. Again, the key word
where's my car
is dude. As in, dude, Jalen Hurts looked legit last night, dude. Listen between 8:30 and 9, and when you hear the sounder, be the first to call in and give the keyword, and you will be on your way to Chase Center to play in the 95-7 The Game knockout tournament. Dude, where's my car? Where's your car, dude? It's an all-time movie. Ashton Kutcher, Sean William Scott. It's
all-time movie?
It's all-time. It's all-time for the all-time.
Zoltan? That's a little strong.
No, it's all... Zoltan, come on, man. If you're on the YouTube, you know what I'm doing
it's,
right now.
It's not an all-time movie.
No, it is. It's an all-time stoner classic. Are you kidding me?
Cheech and Chong, Half-Baked.
Talking about from the 2000s. You don't have to go that deep into the bag. But since the 2000s, come on, man.
It's okay.
How high?
How high?
Yeah, Half-Baked. Yeah, how high is a good one?
That's a level below Half-Baked and Cheech and Chong.
I think you're drastically underrating.
Harold and Kumar are my go-to.
Harold and Kumar is hilarious.
Neil Patrick Harris.
I'm taking that
cameos.
Way before Dude, Where's My Car? That's a great call on
same
that.
Same director, I believe.
So there you go. David's out in Denver. He has some thoughts on
Pineapple Express.
Debo Samuel, another great one. What's up, David? You're almost Spadoni and Chiasky.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, good morning. A few points. I got kind of riled up because I heard a previous caller call in and call Debo like the poor man, Eric Metcalf. And then you kind of touched upon it, Chiasky. I'm frustrated with him as well and kind of the shenanigans, but we can't forget, man. This dude, I feel like almost single-handedly won a playoff game for us against Dallas a few years ago, against the Eagles last year. Like, he's one of a kind. So the fact that now, because he's doing this stuff, and I get it, I totally get it, but people start getting irrational and kind of like,
yes,
just like diminishing what they've actually done for us, like what he's done. The dude, for me, like, man, there's been games where we've seen this guy like just eye-popping, like playmaking at a high level. Now, I do get the other side. Like, if you go all the way back to his contract issue a few years ago, I feel like with Debo, the emotionality part, now it's becoming more negative than it is positive. Like, whether it's on the field with the whole kicker fiasco last year or all the social media stuff. Again, going back to his contract, like, that's weighing more heavy now, but I don't think it could take away from this dude's been a baller for us, man. And so I feel like people just like overreact once they're like, okay, he wants to leave. That sucks. We're going to lose him. I get the business of it. We're probably going to have to move on from him now. I get all that. But let's not hate on the dude for what he's done for us, because I feel like he's done some good stuff. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
Good call, David.
I completely agree. And I come back to this. Two things can be true simultaneously. He's a great Niner. Great memories. His highlight package for the Niners is incredible. I'm going to forever hold them in a certain regard. And it might be time to just, you know, both parties to move off. I just don't know why we have to, like, dump on him on the way out the door. Yeah, like, I'm not happy with the way he's reacting right now. Like, I don't love that he's talking about it. I don't love that we're already starting day one of the offseason and he's talking about, I need to, you know, I'm being told I'm able to get shopped and whatnot. But can we have a little bit of tact? Just on the way out the door. I'm talking about as a fan base. Yeah. Like a little bit of grace and dignity on the way out the door. Dude's one of my favorite Niners of all time, and he got that stadium fired up like no other. And when I think about draft picks at wide receiver, in terms of tone setter, he's the best drafted wide receiver. And now we'll see where Ayuk's career ends up. Since T.O., it's pretty straightforward. 49ers drafted wide receivers. He was more impactful than Michael Crabtree. To this point, he's been more impactful than Ayuk. Yeah, Vernon Davis and George Kittle are going to end up with more yards if he ends up leaving off right now than him. Those guys play tight end, you know? And Vernon Davis, to his credit, played tight end when we didn't have any wide receivers. So he was the number one option for the longest time. And Kittle's on a whole nother level in terms of legendary status. Debo's badass. And I can singularly remember playoff games where he willed you to the finish line. Dallas, Green Bay, like go right back. The Seattle game, the one we talked about with Purdy earlier, he was unreal. The Detroit game last year, go back and look at his numbers.
Yeah.
All-time legend.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's all-time list is a little different than you know, mine might have 60 guys. Yours might have 10, you know. He's awesome.
Is Debo Samuel more of an all-time legend for the 49ers than Andrew Wiggins was more of an all-time legend for the Warriors? One was the second-best player on a championship team. That's Andrew Wiggins. But I don't think he's viewed in the same way that Debo Samuel's viewed at the 49ers. Why is that? Is it because of the personality?
Because they didn't win it all. If they would have won it all,
I'm saying I think people like Debo more than they like Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, because Debo was drafted by the team. Debo, you know, came in as a rookie. I mean, if you go back to the Super Bowl, the first one, and we've forgotten it, he was dominating with the jet sweeps in the first 2.5 quarters.
So that's the main difference.
What?
That's the main difference, just being drafted by the team.
Yeah, okay. The Bay Area outside. Unless
they embraced him way early on, obviously.
Yes.
Than Andrew Wiggins was, and I get it. Style of play, personalities matter, but it's not like Debo Samuel. Like,
Debo
I get
played
it.
A physical style of football.
I'm saying just as like speaking, like he doesn't really talk a lot.
No.
And now we've heard him a lot more
his
these
play
last year
speaks.
And so. His play speaks loud. I thought. You know,
he went head on with Aaron
Wiggins
Donald.
Did too when they won a title, but I'm just listen. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting how we fans sometimes and how we think of certain players in certain ways, because you could make the argument that Andrew Wiggins meant a lot more for the Golden State Warriors than Debo Samuel did the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Guy won a freaking title as the second best player.
Basketball's different, right?
I'm just thinking about it. It's just interesting to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, when I go to the stadium, I see a lot of Debo jerseys.
We all said bye-bye to Andrew Wiggins. A lot of people just said, all right, oh, we got Jimmy Butler. Great, sweet. See ya. Deuces. Are we going to be saying that if Debo Samuel gets traded for a fifth-round pick? Oh, my God, I can't believe they did this, that, and the other. But it sounds like you're like come to terms with it, that it's going to happen.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably
is.
But
you just want people to know, hey, let's not throw the guy out on the way out. Although,
dude, he was a great Niner. It might just be his time.
It's
a
sour
he was
a
great
ending,
Niner.
Though. Can we agree on that? It's a sour ending.
For sure.
Yeah.
Name me a Niner who walked out in good terms. Because they all went out sour.
It's a good point.
Like, they all do.
Vernon Davis?
What?
Vernon Davis?
Vernon Davis, after getting whacked by Cam Chancellor, quit on the Niners and got traded to the Broncos midway through the season and won a Super Bowl at Levi's, and Niner fans were not happy at that time.
Quit, per se.
No, he quit on the Niners.
I mean, he was cooked after that. Let's just be honest. Like, his play was over.
No,
he didn't do anything with the Broncos. I mean, he won a title.
He wanted out. Like, you know, it was a weak move.
Okay. Patrick Willis?
Yeah, Patrick Willis.
I mean, he retired, right, after 7 years. This is a little different, I guess.
But I guess you're looking for, like,
a guy who moved on.
Off. Like, if you're looking for... Yeah, that's good.
Crabtree was sour.
No, he was.
Navarro Bowman, I mean, that's...
I think he was really disappointed when the Niners moved him. I think we'd go the Saints first, then the Raiders.
Yeah, I think... I don't even know if he played for the Saints. I think it was just straight to the Raiders, and then, like, he had that interception on Thursday Night Football at the Collie against the Chiefs when they won that crazy game, when they had a couple of dead balls there late in the game. Real quick, before we hit the break.
But that's not exclusive to just football. Like, Brian Wilson was bitter that the Giants let him go. Juan Uribe was bitter.
Then he went to the Dodgers.
You know, like, Tim Lincecum probably wasn't happy he ended up with the Angels. Like, I think that's a byproduct of sports.
If Charvarius Ward goes, that could be one.
Very unique because of the off-court.
Yeah.
You know what? Similar to Wiggins, though, I do believe there's a softening on the Wiggins stuff because everyone realizes, like, take a step back. Like, he lost his dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, same thing with Charvarius. There's no doubt about it. That is a very unique case. I will give you that. But, like, if I say Alden Smith, people have wild views of Alden Smith.
Yeah.
Kaepernick, wild. They're all over the map. Frank Gore left on good terms, but there are a lot of people that were frustrated that he, you know, just the Niners didn't keep him.
Justin Smith?
Sad that he retired.
Yep. That's another guy.
He was also another guy, like, he was like a insider Niner fans' favorite Niner.
For
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, he was a baller. Like, he's,
no
he's
doubt.
So sick. What's coming up the game is brought to you by Honda of Vallejo. Uncle Gene, we'll get to you on the other side. We'll wrap up this conversation in regards to Debo Samuel. I do want to get into what took place this past weekend. And no, not the Super Bowl. Jimmy freaking Butler making his debut, and the team rallying behind Steph, behind Jimmy, behind just Quentin freaking Post. Are we going Jimmy Butler? Quentin Post hitting some threes?
Oh, like, my God.
That
Jimmy,
was a wild
Jimmy,
ride.
I think, Jimmy!
Hey, I was the one doing that, you know, the day before. Everyone wanted Kevin Durant. I said, what about Jimmy Butler? And you guys, no, I don't want that. Pivot, don't panic. I know that's what you're about to tell me. I just want to be known.
When Jimmy went like this to Draymond, and Draymond did it back to him, I was like, bro, the suspendables are uniting. This is incredible.
I'm going to give out the keyword in the other segment. You're going to be listening for the sounder to call in. You got to be the first caller to call in when you hear the sounder. We'll discuss that on the other side, plus more of your calls, more of your texts. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're breaking it all down on The Morning Roast.
Right
quarter. Bruce Ellis drives around Draymond, who knocked the ball away. Another turnover. Here's Heels. Bounce pass to Jensky. Makes a great catch. Runs out of real estate. Finds Butler right side. He goes baseline. Throws it up. Spins it up and in. And he got fouled. Ridiculous.
You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Tim Ryan, the call right here on 95.7 The Game as your Golden State Warriors over the weekend took out the Chicago Bulls 132-111. Much like the Super Bowl, you know, the final score didn't really dictate what happened in that game. Warriors were down big at one point. And then, you know, as happens from time to time, Stephen Curry happened. 42-25. Third quarter in the Warriors' favor, and then a 35-17 quarter in the fourth as your Golden State Warriors get back to 500 and absolutely obliterate the Chicago Bulls. They didn't know what was coming. I guess...
What was going through your head in the second quarter?
This team's cooked. Like, honestly, I was like, they can't lose this game, right? They cannot lose this game to the Chicago Bulls. Not when... And this was
They do lose that game before they get Jimmy Butler.
I don't know, because Steph was the difference in this one.
Yeah, you know why? Because you literally couldn't double and triple team him on every possession.
Correct, but I don't know if Steph does that. But again, I think with Jimmy,
he got
amazing.
More open one-on-one looks than he has seen in months.
He still might have done the Steph Curry thing, is what I'm saying. But, again, and it's all one game, so I'm not going to make sweeping declarations
of
one game.
Of course, and it's
game.
The Bulls and
the Bulls
blah, blah,
stink.
Blah.
You know how we're making fun of, like, the Niners
the
win?
The Warriors low-key stink.
You know, well, you know, like, the Niners, when they beat the Bears earlier, and then it's like, oh, wow, Brock Purdy was amazing. It's, like, it's the Bears. Like, let's all calm down. But again, you're going to be playing the Bucks without Giannis. So, and you're going to be playing the Dallas Mavericks without Anthony Davis. So can you get a little fat and happy here? Go two games over 500. At the, not the deadline, but the All-Star break, feeling a lot better with Jimmy Buckets. And I'll say this, and we're going to wrap up our Jalen Hurts versus Brock Purdy conversation with Gene Oakland here in just a second. But Jimmy does some things, man, that, listen, he's not going to hit the three-point shot. He's not going to shoot the three-point shot. He is kind of the polar opposite of Steph. But both Jimmy and Steph talked about that after the game and said, you know what, opposites attract. And maybe, just maybe, this thing is going to work. I'm not saying they're going to win a title. I'm not saying they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. I'm saying this team, from a watchability standpoint, is already more must-see than they were just 3 or 4 days ago.
They have a better identity, and they needed someone else who could create in the half court. Like, Andrew Wiggins is a guy, like, you look up, like, wow, he scored 20 points. It was a lot of catch and shoot, and then he'll drive primarily for himself, right? And I'm not knocking him. Like, his skill set is different from Jimmy's. Jimmy sees the floor. Jimmy can pass. Jimmy can dribble better. Jimmy operates in that mid to low block way better. Jimmy gets to the free throw line, right? And, like, here's the thing, too. As an off-ball defender, he anticipates two passes away so well. He doesn't just fall asleep. I mean, he's moving around. Well, look, they still have issues at point of attack defense, perimeter defense. They need Kuminga in the worst way. Jimmy's a better offensive player than Andrew Wiggins. He just is. And I'm not knocking Wiggs.
He's been a number one on two teams that went to the finals. Absolutely.
Exactly.
He's a better offensive
player. And I think a lot of Warrior fans, and I'm not knocking them. I'm really not. I think a lot of Warrior fans haven't really focused on Jimmy Butler or seen Jimmy Butler enough. And I'm like, I put this out on the internet. People were losing their minds. I'm like, I think a lot of people underrated how good Jimmy Butler was.
Well, because he missed the playoffs last year. He did a lot of chirping in the offseason. Him and Pat Riley went out.
He tanked his value.
Yes, and he got indefinitely suspended because he was, again, going at the president. That is Pat Riley. He's going into it with Eric Spoelstra, the head coach. So a lot of people were down on him.
He's an alpha.
But he is, again, he is a true number one player.
Yes.
He might be older. He is a number one guy. And again, he might have to be a number one guy going forward for this team if they want to get into the playoffs and take a load off Steph Curry, and especially situations like tonight where Steph might not be playing due to a sore quad. By the way, Joe Shasky, don't forget, at some point this segment, we're going to prompt you to call in with the keyword to win a spot in the knockout tournament. Make sure you are locked and loaded and have that keyword ready. Gene in Oakland, he wants to get in and put a bow on this Super Bowl talk. And while I want to also get Gene's thoughts on what he saw from Jimmy Butler over the weekend as well.
Jimmy,
what's up, Gene? You're on with us, Spadoni and Chasky.
Hey. So I have an appointment in 3 minutes, but let me go through. First of all, I didn't think I'd be
so thrilled to see Philly not only beat but bludgeon KC. I mean, the air of invincibility is now gone with KC, and that to me, that's a big deal. Sure, we're going to have to deal with Philly fans for a while, but I think it was worth it. So wonderful, you know. And in terms of the question of whether I would choose Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy, you know, I've been one of Brock's biggest fans over the years, but, you know, his play this year has raised some questions in my mind. And after what Hurts did yesterday and through the season, hell, I choose Hurts in a heartbeat over Purdy.
Because, Gene, he rose to the moment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the man, Hurts is, first of all, he's a better runner. It looks like he's got a better arm. And, you know, there were some clutch moments yesterday, you know, when he had the blitz coming at him and he responded beautifully. So, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I would take Jalen.
Thanks, yeah, things can flip, right? Think about how you felt about some guys a year ago versus how you think about how you thought about Jimmy Butler a year ago, and then think about what the league thought of him at the trade deadline,
right? And many still think about Jimmy. We'll see if he can carry this on and see how he is in the locker room, this, that, and the other, the suspendables, him and Draymond. It was fun, though. It was all the emotions. Hell, I thought Draymond was going to get thrown out in that second quarter when he was going at... Saw me if you heard this one before. Another European guy. Matis Buzelis.
Who's a baller.
He's sick. He's going to be part of the dunk contest.
Love him.
He's a very fun young player that Bulls fans, I get it. Bulls fans can't get excited about anyone these days. But him, Kobe White was a baller in that game. I think that's missed. Like, he had 27 points, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. Kobe White was dealing. And then Stephen Curry is like, oh yeah, there's levels to this young fella. And then he took over and they didn't look back. But yeah, Draymond throwing Buzelis on the ground. I was like, is Draymond trying to get true? I actually was watching the Bulls feed, interestingly enough.
Oh, you were watching the Bulls feed?
Okay. I was. For some reason, I don't know why. I have a bunch of streaming services now, so I like to tap in on different ones, so it's good.
Lens on that Bulls feed as bad as the jerseys they were wearing?
My eyes were bleeding, if that's what you're saying.
Those jerseys, you have iconic old school...
Was that their City Connects? I don't know what they were.
Well, there's a joke in there somewhere with like South Park.
City Disconnect?
Like, you know, City Walk? Yeah.
Don't talk about that.
I said City Walk.
Careful.
Yes. I know. That's how bad those jerseys
City
were.
City Sushi?
They were so bad. So bad. The NBA, don't even start me.
It's not hard with certain brands like Lakers,
Yankees,
Celtics, Bulls, Yankees,
Red Sox.
Don't overthink it.
The San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco Giants, Oakland A's, now Sacramento.
The Raiders.
Don't overthink it.
Stay in your lane.
Exactly.
In the words of
Steelers.
The Lord.
Yes.
Your point about Steph, and I think this is actually fascinating. You're like, oh, you know, Steph went nuclear. He hasn't gone nuclear for months. He's been going up against double and triple teams.
He's excited.
For months. The blueprint is out. We are going to literally double you on every possession. And the first 15 to 25 minutes of him and Jimmy on the floor together was like, all right, we got to kind of figure it out. And then, like, there was a little bit of balance, and all of a sudden, Steph got one-on-ones. Like, he has not. Now, we'll see if that sustains. But to me, it was directly correlated to Jimmy being on the floor simultaneously with Steph Curry. Not for the entire stretch of him going nuclear, but for a lot of it, yeah. I did put a lot of, like, finally you get an alpha that commands coverage below the three-point line, and that just changes the geometry of the defense. And I thought they were directly correlated to two. Jimmy being on the floor, Steph going nuclear.
Well, Jimmy Butler, after the game, Warriors' own Jimmy Butler is going to be... some getting used to here. Jimmy buckets after the game on how much space there is and how simple it's going to make things for him and Steph.
There's so much space out there on the floor, too, that I just get to do what I do best. So I'm happy to drive in there and kick the ball out whenever I don't have a layup or I can't get fouled. Game is very, very, very simple here, and they make it so easy for me. They're looking to get me going all the time. So I just got to do my job, put the ball in the basket or get to the free throw line.
And conversely, Joe Shasky, Stephen Curry felt Jimmy's presence early on.
Yeah, you play against him like he's a guy that you have to worry about at all times. And he can dominate a game in a lot of different ways.
I'm sure from like a vocal standpoint, he's still getting comfortable. We were still having good conversation on the sideline, trying to figure stuff out, not trying to overcomplicate it either. But for him, like, he made his presence felt across the board. And having played against him, seeing the success that he has had as a winner, there's a reason he's been to two finals. There's a reason, you know, he has the reputation that he has. And again, one game, great start. I just like the different look he provided, for sure.
He can beat a guy off the dribble. He can lean on him and then do the little fadeaway. He gets to his spots. There are the elite all-time type players, and he's, you know, tick below them, this guy, Kevin Durant.
He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, but like, they get to their spots, and then they either get their own or they set up for others, yep. And he does that all the time. How many times did he back a guy down and they couldn't send that double and triple team over to him? Mm-hmm. Because you have to honor Steph.
Yep.
And then he gets the one-on-ones under the rim. I mean, he had a couple of sick ones. But the and-one one, he was posting up. He threw it back out to Draymond. Draymond threw it right back to him. And then, boom, he gets the and-one. And I watched him go over to Draymond. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? And then he's like, yeah! Like, they get in each other's faces. And I was just like, dude, this is like straight Avengers, dude. I'm going to keep calling it. The Suspendables,
it's so
like,
great.
Oh, they were fired up. Then they cut to commercial. I don't know. Somebody called timeout, and it's Curry and Butler on the bench. And they're like so engaged, yeah, talking back and forth, just strategy and basketball stuff. And the smile on both of their faces, they look like they were in basketball nirvana. Just by playing together.
I think Warriors fans were also smiling at home after. Well, they weren't in the second quarter, and then in the third, everything changed and flipped, and they had big smiles everywhere. 25 points in his Warriors debut, 4 assists, got a steal, a couple boards, 7 of 12 from the floor, only attempted 1-3, barely grazed the rim. But this is the key stat here. And this is what something Andrew Wiggins was doing, and I knew Jimmy Butler would be able to replicate, and something when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, I hope he adds on top of it. It's getting to the free throw line.
Yes.
11 of 13, getting to the line, and not only getting to the line, but
getting them into the bonus.
Correct. Putting that onus, yep, on the opposing defense. Again, Bulls stink, is what it is. A lot of young players. I don't care, because the Warriors were losing to bad teams left and right already.
How many
season.
Blowouts this year for the Warriors?
A lot. They lost to the freaking Jazz last week.
Were they won in a blowout fashion?
Oh.
Not many.
Boy. Yeah, that's a great question. So early on, I think, but then, yeah, again, that seems like forever ago.
I totally agree.
12-3.
And like, there's whole nother Buddy Hield conversation, but like.
Well, I was just about to say Buddy Hield, kind of making, like, again, 4 of 9, he's making his threes a little bit more now.
He's just the worst defender of all time.
I don't need him to defend.
I know, he's just so bad.
He had 3 assists. Great. He had a couple steals, actually, too. Credit to him. A couple boards. Be serviceable. Knock down a few threes. Just keep doing that. Build,
yes,
that confidence is what I need.
Pods
from him.
Look good too.
Yes,
I'll give Pods his credit, man. He looked good. He had a couple of outside shots. He looks more decisive. Look, the buyout market is out there. You're seeing guys like, there are names like Alex Len. There are names like Kelly Olynyk. And I know none of these guys are going to be like world beaters.
No.
This team needs to continue to rattle off wins so that they become the destination or one of the many destinations for these buyout candidates.
I like Kelly Olynyk, who has some ties with Jimmy Butler back to Miami days. They played with each other, I should say, when they went to those finals.
I totally agree. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of names that are intriguing to me. Bruce Brown's intriguing, yeah, to me. Like, I know that Warrior fans feel a lot of ways. Like, what happens with Marcus Smart?
Yeah. I'm not scoffing at Marcus Smart.
No, like he's a dog. I'll take that dude on my team.
Absolutely.
So like, there's a lot of different guys that I think that they should be in the mix for, and I think you got to rattle these wins off, and that's why like I kind of need Steph to play tonight.
888-957-9570. I actually weirdly feel confident about this team now for the first time with Steph out, because Jimmy Butler is a number one guy.
You feeling good, like, about that take on Friday?
I did. Well, what was the take?
Well, you're basically saying that he's the one now.
Well, I feel great about it. I mean, I was right. Like, this guy has been the best player on teams that have been to the finals twice now in the last 5 years. I mean, Steph's been to the finals once. I'm just, hey, 2-1. Steph finished the job. I get it. But, hey, Jimmy dragged some teams out there to the NBA finals. Joe and SF, I see you in a second. There's the sounder. Be the first caller to call in with the keyword 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652.
4652 with the keyword, and you will win a spot in our knockout contest at Chase Center Monday, March 3rd. Must be 18 and a California resident. If you don't qualify right now, be listening at noon for Steiny and Goo, then at 4 with Willard and Dibs. Got all week we're giving these out, so if you missed out today, don't worry. Got opportunities today and the rest of the week. Joe is out in San Francisco. He wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Joe? You're on with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Look, man, Jimmy Butler looks great with the Warriors. He has a feel for the game. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Like, he has a feel to where he knows where to be, when to be there, the extra bucket. I think we should celebrate this acquisition. I'll be honest, I wanted Zion Williams because I didn't know what Jimmy still had left in the tank. But it kind of, not to go too far left, it reminds me of Randy Moss when he left the Raiders and went to the Patriots. It's like, that's the guy we remember. I think we really, really hit big with this pickup, and that Warriors fan should, you know, stop being pessimistic on this one. Just, you know, ride this one out.
I'm totally with you.
Thanks, Joe.
And the part about the feel, I think
I was with the Randy Moss comp real quick, but yes, continue.
Well, no, I think the fact that the player's perceived value was so diminished, and then he shows up in a new spot and looks vintage. Like, Jimmy hasn't gotten a lot of mileage this year. And on a team that needs a push toward the end of the year when everyone's tired, I think the Warriors really got lucked out here. I mean, he sabotaged his value so low, we actually questioned whether he was even good anymore or not.
Now, I didn't, because I knew he was
good. No, I know you didn't. I'm saying most Warrior fans.
No, correct, because they didn't know what kind of play. Like, just think about it, Joe Shasky. If you're just the average just fan right there, like, you're like, yeah, I'm paying attention to ESPN, and all I keep saying is how disgruntled
Jimmy
Butler is and how this guy's just, like, this, are you serious? This guy doesn't want to play. He, like, Pat Riley, that guy's a classy individual. Eric Spoelstra, like, what's going on there? And you keep hearing his name. Hell, since when? November, December, even
it's
hearing about
been
his name?
Months.
It was exhausting, quite frankly. And then De'Aaron Fox took over, and then the Luka Doncic trade came out of nowhere, so everyone's like, oh, whoa. Jimmy kind of got put on the back burner a little bit, trying to force his way to the Suns, ends up in Golden State. So it's been this tumultuous few months for him. No one knew what to expect. But if you watch that game, Warriors fans, and I asked the question at 888-957-9570, are you more optimistic after Saturday's win about the Jimmy Butler era in Golden State than you were before that game? You kind of have to be, right? Like, given where this team was, they were looking dead in the rights. They were about to lose to the Bulls. They're going to be two games under 500. I wasn't feeling great. And then all of a sudden, Steph, Jimmy, Buddy Hield made some threes. Quentin Post! Hey, the Postmaster, baby!
Well, here's the thing about Post. Watching that game, Vucevic looks so old and slow.
Oh, gosh.
And now, Post is not a great defender. No. So, like, let's acknowledge...
He's not as thick either as a Vucevic, yeah.
Like, Post is a 10 to 18 minute a night guy. Like, give or take, right now. He's just not there. And he's going to have to adjust to the speed of the NBA. I mean, that's part of the learning curve. He's a rook. I mean, he's so raw. But he can knock down some shots. And I think he's a useful piece in the rotation. They're going to need Looney at some point.
Yes.
They're going to need him to contribute. They're going to keep needing Draymond Green to be more aggressive. I thought they cranked up the defense in that third quarter. Yeah. Moses Moody, quietly, is having the best stretch of basketball of his career.
Did shoot it well, but defensively,
Overall, his floor game's been really good. Yeah. I'm just talking about the body of work over the last month.
For sure.
And then the key to unlocking everything is Jonathan Kuminga. It's so obvious to say. They need a young dude. They need a dude who's athletic, who can get to the lane, get to the rim, who can defend on a nightly basis the top dog on the perimeter, and then pick and choose when to sick Jimmy the pit bull on him.
What was refreshing to see a lot, too, was when the Bulls were making their run and they were using their athleticism, they were using their youth, the Warriors countered, and they used their IQ to their advantage. I saw a lot of undercutting and stealing the ball.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of that from Pajemski, Draymond, Jimmy Butler. They were getting active, and then you saw the Bulls do what the Warriors have done, but traditionally don't. It's the Bulls panicked. They are a younger team. They did.
Usually us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It usually is. But I saw a young team panic. Yeah. I saw a team that said, no. We got to keep going fast because this is slipping away. Instead of calming things down, going slow and methodical, which is what's going to be great with Jimmy Butler when he has to play with a lot of these young guys like tonight, where Jimmy has to be that guy. And it's going to be interesting to watch because he is so much different than Steph. And Steph's not going to be out on that court. How much attention is Jimmy Butler
going to be you know, from the opposing defense, is he going to garner, right? How's he going to play with some of these young guys like Moody, like Pods? Well, like, it's going to be a very interesting learning curve here in the next few weeks with Jimmy Butler and these young guys. And I'm very curious to see how it shakes out.
Well, I liked when they played him alongside Gui Santos. Gui hit a couple of shots from the outside. And then, like, Gui's a willing passer, too. To me, like, Gui, this is going to be a weird analogy.
Smooth like butter.
He reminds me a lot of when they had Matt Barnes the first time during the We Believe era. Never going to be one of your top seven or eight guys, but, like, as your ninth man off the bench, who can do a little bit of everything, like, that's what Matt Barnes could do. Hustle guy, could knock down a three, going to bring some intensity, get you a rebound, scrappy, willing passer, like, they're not exactly the same player. I'm saying, like, on that We Believe team, you didn't think of Matt Barnes. It was all these other guys before you got to Barnes. And then Barnes would go out there and he'd just make things happen. And, like, Gui, I just really like Gui. He's like a perfect end-of-the-bench rotation piece.
Shout out Dwayne in Concord, Joe Shasky. He qualified for the knockout tournament. So shout out to you, Dwayne. And earlier when we gave out the Curry 12s, which we'll be doing all week long, stay tuned to the Morning Roast. We're going to be giving out away a pair of the Curry 12s yet to be released. They're only going to be released on Valentine's Day, so you have your chance to win them early right here on the Morning Roast. That was Francis in Sacramento that won those pairs. So
congratulations, Francis.
Shout out to Dwayne. They're locked and loaded, and I'm going to give you another opportunity to enter another contest at some point because we got something cool going down in Las Vegas. Head coach Steve Kerr, how'd you feel about Jimmy Butler on your team?
Pretty fun having Jimmy on our team.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. You know, the ability to get fouled, it just settles the game for us at key times. But I'm most impressed with his passing. You know, I just think his passing changes everything, connects the game. You know, and he does it from anywhere. He, you know, he'll dive down to the post, catch it down there, or he'll, you know, pass off the dribble, or he'll just make the quick swing. So the skill, the strength, the ability to get to the free throw line, and then, you know, in the end, he goes beyond that. It's his just his presence out there. He's a lion out there. You know, he is a force.
I mean, we use those terms, lion, alpha, dog, whatever you want to say. I love when Jerry West says, everyone's a dog. No, I was a wolf. I ate dogs. That's what I love, RIP Jerry West. Like, this guy is a wolf, and this guy will get after you and expect greatness from you as well. I think, again, tonight's going to be very interesting if Stephen Curry doesn't play. You know, it's four games and six nights for him. Is he going to do that? I'm not sure. But I'm not saying this team's going to go, like, in a deep run of the playoffs, Joe Shasky. I'm just so happy I can watch a Golden State Warriors basketball game again and Steph Curry not being a part of it, but I'm still excited to watch it.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how many fans can say that lately. Like, that's a big deal. When Steph was out in the past, big deal. We got Kevin Durant. We got Klay Thompson. We got Andre Iguodala. We got Draymond Green. I don't think Draymond was enough as of a draw without Steph for fans these days. I don't think, you know, Andrew Wiggins, God love the guy, he wasn't drawing fans in the way a Jimmy Buckets can. And I cannot wait until I see all the merch with the Jimmy Buckets, the Splash Jimmy, whatever you want to call it.
Butler the Third?
Yeah, I love that. I love it. The Suspendables, I still think there's...
It's the greatest nickname, and I want them to lean into it.
The teams, they're not going to, but it is hilarious. Like, you know, if this was back in the old Oracle days in Oakland, you know for sure if you're getting off BART, they were going to have the Suspendable shirts ready to go, printed, color screen.
100%.
Whatever. They were going to have it all. I still have a shirt... from Ricky Henderson. It's like, everything I learned about stealing, I learned in Oakland. And it's in
Rome. Oh, that's good. I like that. That's really good.
It's all time, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
So that's what I'm thinking about here.
Hey, can we clarify something here? Like,
please.
I saw it over the weekend, and I'm going to see it again now. And I'm seeing a lot of people texting in. The Warriors are not over the first apron. They're not. There are seven teams that are over the first apron.
Yeah, they could go get a buyout guy.
What does that mean? So anyone who made more than $12.5 million this year and they get bought out, there are seven teams in the league who cannot sign those guys. The Warriors are below that apron, all right? And I'll give you who these teams are. Phoenix can't sign anyone who's been bought out. Minnesota can't sign anyone who's been bought out. Boston can't sign anyone who's been bought out. The Knicks, the Lakers, Milwaukee, and Denver. A lot of those teams would be teams that you would be fined for the services of those said buyout players. The Warriors are under said apron by all reports. So they can get buyout people. So you need to educate yourself out there if you're texting, tweeting in, whatever. The Warriors are able to be active in that market.
Speaking of the Lakers real quick, very odd news that came about during the Bulls game. I think it was in halftime right before. So they made that big trade, obviously, for Luka Doncic. But another one they made was getting rid of Dalton Knecht, their rookie, who's been very good at times this year. The Warriors fans have saw him up close and personal. Out of Tennessee, trading him to the Charlotte Hornets for Mark Williams, a big 7-footer, has dealt some injury issues.
And some effort questions.
All that, this, that, and the other. The trade was nixed as Williams failed a physical.
Crazy.
Very interesting because over the weekend. And we'll
come
get back,
on back.
Well, over the weekend, and I was reading the Dave McMenamin article, covers the team for ESPN.
LeBron's publicist.
Sure, but before that, he covered the Pelicans. This is what Rob Pelinka had to say real quick. That's your boy. You love Dave McMenamin. We fully vetted Williams' health stuff, Pelinka said Thursday. He's had no surgeries, so these are just parts of he's still growing into his body. We vetted the injuries he's had, and we're not concerned about those. 48 hours later, kick rocks. So something came up.
But what? Do we know?
I have no idea. They said, Sham said something scared them, not back related, but he's had injuries to his knees, to his feet, to his tendons. It's got to be something that's like, again, going back to the Giants, maybe they had cold feet, maybe they didn't.
It's odd.
Like the Carlos Correa thing.
Forget that one.
Like,
what about the GP2 one?
The GP2.
When they made the trade for Wiseman, remember GP2 failed the physical.
Yeah. So very, very odd. Something happened there. I don't know. And then the funniest part of it all, this is what the Hornets released real quick. This is their statement after they were excited to bring Williams back to the team. Quote, after the other team aggressively pursued Mark, we made the difficult decision to move him. Don't even mention the Lakers. After the other team, we have always held great respect for Mark's talent, work ethic, and character. We are thrilled to see him rejoin our roster as a dynamic presence at the starting center position. His return strengthens our team, and we look forward to the impact he will make on and off the court. It's just hilarious.
Like, is that the second worst Hornets-Laker trade of all time?
Give me the first.
It's Vlade for Kobe.
There you
go. Or the pick that would materialize to be Kobe.
It's a tough scene. We're talking about one of those cursed franchises. The Hornets are destined to do nothing in my entire lifetime. The New Orleans Pelicans are another one. They're just not going to do anything.
Did you see that video I sent you?
Do anything.
Did you see the video I sent you over the weekend?
Which one?
The
he
one about
a bunch. So
well, yeah. The grandma.